The following is a recording for Manuel Perez with IR Strat on Tuesday, February 21st, 2019 at 11 a.m. Central Time. Good morning and welcome to the fourth quarter 2018 FIBRA Monterrey conference call. With us this morning from FIBRA Monterrey, we have Mr. Jorge Avalos, CEO, Javier Yaca, COO, and Jaime Martinez, CFO. They will discuss the more important strategic, financial, and operating aspects of the quarter. It is important to note that the presentation referred to in this conference is available at www.fibramty.com, and a recording of this call will be accessible on the website of the company in the next 2 hours. Let me remind you that the information discussed in today's call may include forward-looking statements on the company's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risk and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to rely unduly on these forward-looking statements. FIBRA Monterrey undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statement. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Jorge Avalos. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Stephanie, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for attending our fourth quarter results conference call. In December 2018, we achieved our fourth year of operations, and I'm very pleased not only for being able to become a benchmark in terms of corporate governance in our industry, but also for being able to become the second most profitable FIBRA in terms of total return during this period. Likewise, in year 2018, and for the fourth consecutive year, we reached our dividend guidelines, reaching dividends that totaled 1.0684 pesos per CBFI. That represents a 30% accretive effect compared to our first year's dividend in 2014. Our internally managed and advised structure has helped us to obtain one of the highest EBITDA margins in the industry of 78.80%. Even though we have a diversified portfolio that is composed mainly of industrial and multi-tenant office buildings. In terms of our 2020 strategic growth plan that we published in 2015, I'm happy to announce that we are within the program's target, particularly because of what I consider one of the most relevant and strategic acquisitions for FIBRA Monterrey in terms of size, tenant quality, and lease structure, the Filios portfolio. This transaction was a game changer for us, not only for its size and structure, but also for the professional execution and capabilities of our management team, demonstrated in a complicated negotiation of a $135 million transaction, which was a lease and sale back transaction, dealing a world-class corporation like Whirlpool in a 75-day record implementation. We pursued an underwriting under our ATM program in October for an amount up to $4 billion, but the announcement of the new government canceling the Texcoco Airport negatively impacted the capital and debt markets, making our transaction impossible in that moment. We have decided to postpone this issuance until we perceive a better market condition. Nevertheless, FIBRA Monterrey has shown to be an excellent defensive investment vehicle, especially in periods of high volatility in the financial and FX markets. I now will turn the call to our COO, Javier Yaca, so he can share his views regarding operations.
Thank you, Jorge, and good morning to everyone. I would like to start talking about the Filios transaction that Jorge just mentioned. You can see some of the highlights of the transaction on page 3 of the presentation. Filios is an industrial sale and leaseback, one of the largest, if not the largest, of this nature in recent years in Mexico, which was approved and announced last November and successfully closed in December 18th, with the simultaneous execution of both the purchase and lease agreements. The property is comprised by more than 384,000 square meters of premium land and more than 148,000 square meters of gross leasable area, distributed in 5 office buildings, 3 distribution centers, and 2 manufacturing facilities. It is in the municipality of Apodaca, Nuevo León, one of the most important industrial corridors in our country. The property was sold by a Mexican subsidiary of Whirlpool Corporation, which has occupied the property for more than 25 years and will continue to do so at least for the next 10 years. The total purchase price was of $135 million plus value-added tax and closing costs, and it will generate $11.13 million of net operating income during the following 12 months after the acquisition. The 10-year lease agreement is dollar-denominated, and it was structured as an absolute triple net contract. This is, the tenant, in addition to the rent, will be responsible for operating expenses, insurance, property tax, and all expenses required for the optimal conservation of the property. I'm sorry. Whirlpool will have two consecutive renewal terms of 5 years each. We look forward to build strong and long-term business alliances with corporations like Whirlpool. Let's move to the same property performance analysis of the portfolio for the fourth quarter that we present on page 4 of the webcast material. The portion of the portfolio for same property purposes is comprised by 43 out of the 55 properties that ended in 2018. Occupancy, in terms of GLA, decreased by 20 basis points, due essentially to a specific scheduled vacancy of space at the Oficinas and El Parque complex. In terms of gross revenue, this grew from almost 223 million pesos to more than 239 million pesos, a growth of 7.6% driven by the combination of exchange rate variations, occupancy in terms of income, and lease escalations. However, we experienced an increase in operating expenses of 10.8%, particularly due to the increase in the cost of electricity. Operating efficiencies did not mitigate this impact due to the fact of the cycle ending with respect to the last quarter of the previous year. This resulted in an increase of our net operating income of almost 14 million pesos, or a 7.1% growth, which substantially exceeded the weighted peso-dollar inflation rate. It is important to point out that the same property NOI margin decreased in 40 basis points, from 88.4% in the fourth quarter of 2017 to 88% during the past quarter, caused by the increase of operating expenses that I just explained. Once we incorporated additional acquisitions and constructions, including Patria, Zinc, and Filios, we were able to increase our net operating income in almost 14% year-to-year. Our NOI margin remained in 88.4%. On page 4 of the presentation, you have a geographic snapshot of our portfolio with all 55 properties, including once we finish the construction of the Zinc property. As you can see, we are considering existing properties and acquisitions that are already in process of being incorporated to our portfolio. We expect to finish construction and deliver the premises of the Zinc property to the tenant by next April. All 10 buildings that comprise the Filios portfolio have been added individually to the portfolio, given the fact that these buildings are different class assets of office and industrial nature. Once the Zinc project is finished, we would reach more than 680,000 square meters of GLA in the portfolio. This is an annual growth of more than 175,000 square meters, or almost 35% in comparison to the fourth quarter of 2017. On page 6 of the presentation, you have the key performance indicators of the portfolio, as well as the expiration profile of our lease contracts, all as a percentage of our income. There are some differences from the previous quarter, mainly due to the integration of the Patria Building and Filios portfolio. The industrial component of the portfolio increased from 41.6% to 46.8%, leaving almost one half of it to our office building. Also driven by the Filios portfolio, our presence in Nuevo León increased from 54.9% to 62.6%. Our occupancy in terms of income remained at 94.1%, since even though we have not paid yet for vacant space at Patria, this vacancy computes for purposes of KPI. And finally, our dollar component of our leases increased from 64.7% to 70.7% quarter-to-quarter, essentially driven by the Filios acquisition. The weighted average remained term increased to 5.7 years, and more than 55% of our income will begin to expire starting in 2023. We are very focused on securing renewals and new leases, and in that regard, we're currently negotiating a single-tenant transaction that involves many of our buildings for approximately 5,000 square meters for expansion of an existing user in one of our office complexes in Monterrey. Finally, it is important to mention that we are already secured or are close to secure renewals in terms of income for 70% of the expirations scheduled for 2019 and more than 20% of the expirations scheduled for 2020. I will be more than happy to answer any questions later and address in more detail any aspect of the operation of our company. With that, I'm going to ask to our CFO, Jaime Martinez, to talk about the key financial aspects of Fibra Monterrey. Go ahead, Jaime.
Thank you, Javier, and good morning to everyone. Fibra Monterrey fourth quarter has an important influence by the Filios transaction. There were many factors that made the execution a real challenge. First, as Jorge mentioned, we had to postpone the follow-on. Second, the short period of time that we had to fulfill the conditions precedent, given the size and complexity of the transaction. And finally, market volatility related to international markets, as well as the inauguration of the new Mexican presidency, provided an additional amount of uncertainty in the foreign exchange market. Fortunately, with our solid balance sheet and the support of our bankers, we were able to perform a financial strategy that mitigated this execution risk in order to provide the required certainty for both sides of the transaction. Even though the strategy was successful, it generated certain short-term costs that affected our fourth quarter dividends for the following reasons. First, we executed borrowings in advance to ensure the seller that there was no financial contingency to fulfill the transaction. Second, because of the reduced time frame required to execute the transaction, we were forced to partially fund the acquisition in pesos, which generated a negative carry as interest rates in pesos are higher when compared to cash, to the cash-on-cash produced by the underlying asset. Third, given the aforementioned, we made material forex transactions, which reduced interest income. These transactions were made before the inauguration of the presidency, eliminating potential forex risk in the closing date. There were other non-recurrent expenses, mainly related to the write-offs associated to the Panamericana and Vallarta transactions that were canceled during the fourth quarter. On slide 7, we prepared a pro forma of the distribution in order to isolate both financial strategy used for Filios acquisition and non-recurrent expenses. As you can see in the first bar of the chart, we generated a fourth quarter dividend of 26.2 cents. The second bar shows the effect of the financial strategy, which reduced 1.5 cents the dividend, and the third bar shows the effect of the non-recurrent expenses, reducing the dividend in 0.3 cents. Without the previously mentioned effects, our dividend would have been of 28 cents, well above the 27.4 cents obtained in the third quarter. An additional situation related to this transaction was the fact that our loan-to-value grew slightly above 35%. We consider that level to be temporary, as it includes the VAT that will be reimbursed in short term. Even though this level of LTV is adequate for the industry's average, our long-term target is below 30%. We are confident to achieve this by tapping the markets again once the conditions are adequate, as we have various acquisitions in our pipeline. As you can see in the slide 8, we present our 2019 dividend guidance that was approved by our technical committee last week. In order to provide some context, let me talk about the ceteris paribus conditions of the portfolio. In addition to the number commented before, there are additional costs that would affect 2019 dividend. To mention a few increase in CAPEX provisions, grace period related to some renewals and new leases contracts, G&A increases, and the negative carry that will prevail until we change the peso-denominated loans to dollars. Our starting point for 2019 is a dividend of 1 peso and 5.7 cents per CBFI at a forecasted exchange rate of 20 pesos per dollar during 2019. Having said that, and given the high weighting in the U.S. dollar of our income, it is important to mention how sensitive the distributions are to the peso-dollar fluctuations. For that reason, the guidance is divided in two ranges, as shown in slide 8. The first one considers an exchange rate average in the range of 19 to 19.5 pesos per U.S. dollar, the second between 19.5 and 20 pesos per dollar. For the first scenario, we estimate the distribution between 1 peso and 5 cents and 1 peso and 7 cents per CBFI. And the second scenario, a distribution between 1 peso and 7 cents per CBFI and 1 peso and 9 cents per CBFI. The assumptions considered for the guidance include some operational and financial goals. In terms of operations, the guidance suggests a reduction of 40% in current vacant space, primarily in the office space, which accounts for the amount of approximately 7,000 square meters. In the financial side, our goal is to change the peso-denominated debt into U.S. dollars. The main challenges are related to the rigid structure associated to some of the assumed debt credit contracts and the possibility of instrumenting an unsecured loan in dollars. Our expectation is to achieve such conditions during the second quarter. I would like to finish my remarks by pointing out our commitment to provide a clear strategy, as we believe that predictability is an important attribute of a successful FIBRA. That would be all. Stephanie, please proceed with the questions.
Thank you. This time I'll open the floor for questions. To ask a question, you may press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phone. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star one now. Our first question comes from Gordon Lee with BTG.
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much for the call. One quick question, and just sort of in the context of capital markets not being ideal at the moment and your intentions to reduce LTV to below 30%, have you considered selling any assets? I mean, this will be your fifth year in existence, asset recycling, I guess you could argue, could be part or should be part of any sort of portfolio optimization strategy. And it looks like cap rates in the private market are a lot steadier and more attractive from a seller's perspective than cap rates in the equity market. So I was wondering whether that's something that you're considering in terms of raising cash if the equity markets remain challenging. Thank you.
Thank you, Gordon. Thank you for the question. Nice to hear from you. This is Javier Yack. Yes, the answer is yes. We are working on a disposition program. Most likely we're going to have something more concrete during the second quarter. What we're doing, I could resume it in three fronts. One front is taking advantage of the good conditions of some renewals and a very steady cash flow on some of the assets that we're considering to sell. The second, as you said, is pursues the objective of reducing a little bit our LTV and providing a little bit of cash to our balance sheet. And the third one is to start having a better portfolio in terms of location to have a better use of our resources. In that regard, we are considering to sell assets that are on secondary markets. We are considering selling and one particular asset that has a better and higher use than the one that we originally purchased, which is on an industrial to more corporate transition area, and that's going to provide an additional organic increase of our equity. But the short answer is yes, we are going to give more detail on our disposition program probably during the second quarter of this year. I don't know if that answers your question. And regarding to your last comment on the caps, you're absolutely right. We see a more attractive cap rate compression on the private market more than the public market. And given the fact that we are not selling distressed assets, far from that, we are selling assets with a long-term remaining on their leases that are going to be very attractive to the private investors, particularly locals on those particular markets.
Great. That's very clear. Thank you, Javier. If I could just have a quick follow-up on that then. As you think, if you take more the sort of idea of maybe recycling assets to fine-tune or optimize your portfolio, thinking about it in that context, you now almost have, I mean, with the exception of the small retail portion, your portfolio is almost split evenly between industrial and office. Is that what you would like the shape of the portfolio to be, sort of on a stabilized basis, or are you preferring one segment over the other at this point?
We love 50-50. If we can have 60-40 or 40-60 either way, we feel very confident. We love the office portfolio. It's an asset class that we are very focused on. The industrial portion component of the portfolio gives us a lot of stability and visibility on the cash flow, along with the U.S. dollar denominated leases. So we think that keeping a mix of 50-50 or close to 50-50 is just perfect for our 2020 growth program.
Perfect. That's very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As a final reminder, press star 1 at this time if you'd like to ask a question. We do have an additional question from Amanda Rodriguez with Signum Research.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for the call and congratulations on the results. Well, I just have a question related to the EBITDA margin that saw changes explained by the new regulatory changes adopted by the CNBV, Comisión Nacional Bancaria de Valores, and just to confirm if those changes will reflect also into further quarters. That's my main question. Thank you.
Oh. Hi, Armando. This is Jaime. The answer is no. It's going to be reduced month by month, I mean, like a regular expense, which is going to be, I mean, normal, and it's on the budget. The thing is the changes were very abrupt at the end of the year, so we had to make an one-time expense just to implement the strategy, but it's going to be, I mean, a normal one in the yearly or monthly basis.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. With no questions in the queue, I'd like to turn the conference over to the management of the company.
Well, thank you, everyone, for attending this conference call, and we'll speak next quarter, and have a great day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's presentation. You may now disconnect.